Let all God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, this is the last in our series looking at the great ends of the church's job description, why we exist. If we're getting a report card from God, these are the ways we will be graded. All six of them are in the insert in your bulletin for the last time. Next week, we're going to start a new series called Words to Remember. And I asked our church leaders, along with the good people of Facebook, for ideas on Bible verses that they think are worth memorizing. And I grouped these verses together to highlight main points in our faith. I've been working on this series for a while, so I'm pretty excited to see how the Holy Spirit will build us up as we embed these important verses in our hearts. I believe you will be uplifted by these words to remember. But that's next week. This week, we are talking about, stay tuned, this week we are talking about the maintenance of divine worship. I don't know about you, but the word maintenance doesn't really inspire me, right? I mean, like, if you might go brag about your new car that you just purchased, but would you brag about, hey, I just got an oil change and a wheel alignment? Probably not. But it's a word that I think, the word maintenance illustrates a few key points about worship. I mean, when you perform maintenance on your car, for instance, or on your house, it's not about you, right? It's about keeping the house or the car in working order. You do it because your car or your home helps your life, and maintenance helps your car or your home. In a similar way, the subject of worship is actually not us, it is God. I've shared before that you can think of worship as like a play, and we often think that we are the audience, that the pastors and choir are the actors, and that God is the director. But in reality, God is the audience. The pastors and choir are the directors, and you are the actors in worship. The job of everyone up here that we're dedicating today, and the pastors, the job up here is to help everyone perform for God and bring a smile to God's face. Our text today is one of the Psalms of Praise. They were designed to help prepare people's hearts for worship as they made their way up to the temple. Listen for the ways that the psalmist prepares our hearts for worship. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Happy are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it like a place of springs. The early rain covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. Well, my previous church, I led a week-long family camp most years. Each year we would choose a new theme because in the mornings we would gather for worship and then, you know, the adults would have their like Bible study time and the youth would have theirs and the children would have theirs. But then the afternoon, you know, was free time, but the morning was Jesus time. And the first year I led the trip, the other pastor and I decided to do, had the great idea of studying Jeremiah. Terrible mistake, by the way. It's really complicated and long, and people don't want complicated and long on their churchy vacation, right? So we decided next time to make it a little more palatable, and we went with prayer. And there's an acronym that helps us remember some of the different aspects of prayer. It's ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication, ACTS. And so I had everyone spend some time writing down different prayers in each of those categories. Then we went and kind of put the post-it notes on the four different categories. And for me, I had a lot of different ways to confess. I can think of a lot of things that I've done wrong. I can definitely come up with thanksgiving prayers, reasons to be grateful. Supplication, we're all good at that. That's asking God for stuff. That one's pretty easy, right? But my adoration box was like blank, completely blank. Adoration is not really in my bag of tricks with prayer. Now, the idea of adoration prayer is to praise God simply for who He is. Here is an example of human adoration from a play you may have heard of, but soft. What light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief, that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. Anyone guess what that is? Romeo and Juliet, right? Yeah. By the way, I could like read scripture and you may not know where it was, but we know that one, right? I think that illustrates the difference between adoration and thanksgiving. Because Romeo isn't saying, you know, how great Juliet is because of how kind she has been to him, or like, you know, oh, she brought me a sandwich one day, right? Right? No, that's not what he's doing here. He's simply making statements about who she is and how she appears. That is adoration. Our psalm today is also adoration. It says, how lovely is your dwelling place. It says, my soul long, indeed it faints. It says, my heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. That is adoration for the living God. And this psalm was used to prepare people's hearts for worship, because when we come to worship, that's what we are doing. We are adoring the living God. Now, those other kinds of prayer might be there for you too. Maybe you might come to worship to confess. You might need to get something off your chest or clear the air between you and God. You might come to worship in some ways because you're grateful for what God has done in your life. You might come to worship hoping that God will show up in your life or the life of a loved one. But more specifically, we come to worship because of who God is. Our God is the kind of God who wants to clear the air and restore a relationship with us. Our God is the kind of God who wants to show up in our lives. Our God is the kind of God who wants to hear our requests and often does something about them. And our God is the kind of God who wants to meet us in worship. The psalm we read says that even sparrows and swallows find a home in God's presence. And if they are assured a place in God's presence, we can be assured of our own place in God's presence. And so worship is not a place that is reserved for the saintly few. It is a place of refuge for people like all of us. You know, Romeo first adored Juliet in that part I read because of her appearance, right? And so that was what caused his adoration. And so I wonder, what do you adore about God? And maybe being thankful makes you appreciate God, but why do you love God? Why do you love Jesus? Why do you adore Jesus? Maybe you've made a big mistake or quite a few of them, and you love Jesus because Jesus is forgiving. Maybe you're trying to get better and you keep falling off the wagon, but you love Jesus because He's patient. Maybe you've looked at the sunset over the mountains, like we just heard from Carol, and you love God because God is a God of creativity and beauty. And maybe you grew up in a harsh family or a difficult situation, and yet the community of the followers of Jesus love you and accept you and welcome you. And so you love Jesus because Jesus is loving. Maybe you look back on your life and you see all the subtle ways that God has guided you and shaped your path, and so you love God because God is wise. Why do you love God? Or why do you adore God? Or why do you love Jesus? When in your life has Jesus made a difference? And how does that reveal who God is? The psalm we read today, like most of the praise psalms, is designed to prepare our hearts for worship. And our hearts are prepared for worship when they are ready to express their love and adoration for their Creator. On the back of the insert in your bulletin, there's a little box that says, "I love God because God is dot, dot, dot." Take a look at that now. Pull out your insert. I think it's on the back page, if I remember correctly. Should be a little box. Like so, yes. All right. And I want to give you a couple of minutes, actually, to think about this. Why do you love and adore God? Not just why are you thankful, but why do you love and adore God? The psalm we read today was actually put to music a number of years ago. And so for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to give you time to actually think about why do you love God for who God is. Now, maybe you just want to think about it. Maybe you want to write it down. If you want to write it down, that's where that box is there. The ways that you love and adore God. Because a heart that loves and adores God is a heart that is ready for divine worship. I'll sing this song, maybe. I woke up without much voice. I'll at least play it on the guitar. We'll see. Why do you love God?
Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your.